So we've been learning about the Madrigos of David HaMelech, the godless of David HaMelech. We'll finally come full circle today and answer the question we asked yesterday: to what degree did David feel he was worthy of being included in Shmoneh Esrei? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and Elokei David. So we sort of answered the yesterday. It was in the schus of David HaMelech's unwavering faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be deeply connected to Hashem in all situations. Again, quoting the pasuk in Shir HaShirim in the third perek, "Achaztiv v'lo arpenu." I'll grab onto Hashem and I'll never let go. And it's in that schus that David HaMelech became the greatest in a certain sense. When things were going really well for David, he didn't let it get to his head. And when things were very difficult for David, he was able to hold on tight. And that was the chiddush, the godless of David HaMelech. As we said yesterday from Qehelet Perek Gimel, in all 28 itim, in all different times of life, ups and downs, David HaMelech was able to hold on. Or v'choshech, yom v'layla, kayetz v'choref. Whatever life threw at him, David HaMelech maintained a certain baseline connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I want to learn a piece from the Yismach Yisrael, from this past week's Parsha, which I think is a very, very Yesodistic piece, and it really, again, it highlights this midah of David HaMelech, of having a munah that when things are going well, it's not me, it's Hashem, and having a munah that when things are going really not well, it's also not haphazard, it's not by chance. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to experience at this moment in my life. Okay, so let's take a look. The Yismach Yisrael was, again, the Rebbe of Alexander. The Alexander Rebbe, Rabbi Yerachmiel Yisrael Yitzchak from Alexander. Okay, 3 years in a row. Yerachmiel Yisrael Yitzchak. Danziger is the family name for the Tzaddikim of Alexander. And he writes in Oz Beis in Parsha Shmini, the moment that Klal Yisrael are so excited for, they're waiting to receive the Dvar Hashem. The Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael stood there ready to be makabel, v'yikrivu kol ha'eda, v'yamdu lefnei Hashem. Everyone sees where we are? Anyone not have a copy? V'yikrivu kol ha'eda, v'yamdu lefnei Hashem. They're standing there, they're all excited. That's the end of Perek Tes, Pasuk Hay, end of Pasuk Hay. And then Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Moshe, Zeh Devar Asher Tziva Hashem Tasu. Vayir Aleichem Kvod Hashem. The Jewish people are busy, Hakam Asam Mishkan, the inauguration, everyone's excited, offering karbanos. They did what Moshe told them to do. Vayikrivu Kol Ha'edah Vayamdu Lefnei Hashem. They're standing there, mamish in the presence of the Shekhinah. And Moshe says to them, Zeh Devar Asher Tziva Hashem Tasu. Vayir Aleichem Kvod Hashem. Do what Hashem told you to do, and you'll be zochet to a divine revelation. Va'ayin bo'ar chayim akadu shakasav, tzarech ladas, mahu hadavar shakasav zeh hadavar. It says the Jews are standing there ready, and already more or less said in the beginning of the pasuk, v'yichu eis asher tziva Moshe, el p'nei ha'moed, they did what was already asked of them. And now they're excited, they're close to Hashem, they're ready to be in the presence, they're standing before Hashem, and Moshe says, zeh hadavar. Asher tziva Hashem tasu. This matter that Hashem has commanded, you should do. They're doing it. What's the zeh hadavar? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, what's the zeh hadavar? This thing that you're being asked to do, you should do. They're doing it. They listen to Moshe's instructions. Va'od b'masha dikte kakosav, and furthermore, we can medayik in the pasuk, lifnei Hashem. It highlights that they're dafka standing lifnei Hashem. It doesn't say where. Lifnei ol moed. Which in many ways would have been more appropriate, because it says, Vayikhu es asher tziva Moshe el p'nei ol moed. And it should say they were standing lifnei ol moed. That's a phrase we find in the Torah. What's the lifnei Hashem? And lastly, it says in the Yalkut Shemoni, the Yalkut says, Zeh davar, Amr lehem Moshe li Yisrael, Oso yetzahara, ta'viru milavavchem. This yetzahara that you have, get rid of it. Well, yetzahara. It's a great day. Inauguration of the Mishkan. Not only we finished the inauguration. Now we're ready. This is really the Mishkan. This is it. We're here. We've arrived. Moshe says, get rid of the Yetzahara in your heart. V'tiyu kulchem be'etza achas uv'yira achas. And everyone should be of one mind. Everyone should have one awareness of God. Everyone should follow the same advice. What's Moshe talking about? What are they doing wrong? And what's Moshe telling them to do right? So the Alexander Rebbe explains, Va'inyin hu dinoda lifnei Hashem hu madrega gavoa mi'al gavoa lifnei Hashem. Chavre, if I say lifnei Hashem, tell me the next word. Out of context. Lifnei Hashem? Titaru. Yom Kippur. Lifnei Hashem is mamish and madrega of the Kohen Gadol. Lifnei Hashem, says the Yismach Yisrael, is a madrega gavoa mi'al gavoa. You should know I consider it for next year learning Yismach Yisrael on Thursdays. You'll see, it's a beautiful sefer. If you've never learned it before, you'll see. You'll see his style. It's very sweet, and it really oozes with a lot of Avos Yisrael. So look what he says here. And it's Yisodistic, and it's not so hard either. It's an understandable sefer, I think, in my opinion. So Lifnei Hashem is a gevaldic high level. It's a madrega gavoa me'al gavoa to be mamish lifnei Hashem. It's madregas kohen gadol. He says b'yom kippurim, lifnei Hashem titaru. He quotes our pasuk, lifnei Hashem titaru. The pasuk that describes the kohen gadol and his avoda in parshas Achrei Mos. V'hainu lamala me'asagas hadas v'seichel enoshi. It's a place that's very, very lofty, very much beyond rational thought, human intellect. It's a very, very high level and very close to God. And that's what it means when Chazal say in the Gemara in Yoma that the Shem HaMefarash, the explicit name of God, right, the way that we never say Hashem's name the way it's written, the Shem HaMefarash, Shu Yotze Mipi Kohen Gadol. Yotze means that when the Kohen Gadol says God's name on Yom Kippurim, it's Yotze, it almost comes out on its own. The Kohen Gadol is so detached from himself that the name just happens on its own. It's not that he brings it out. It just comes out. The Kohen Gadol has dissolved when he enters into Kodesh Kadashim, which is a place that's not a place, on Yom Kippur, which is a time that's not a time, and he's a person who's not a person. The Kohen Gadol has literally dissolved, like we spoke yesterday, the drop of water going back into the ocean. He's totally absorbed within Elokut. So Lifnei Hashem is not a stam phrase. So let's talk about these Jews. Who are these Jews? Who are these Jews being described at the beginning of Parsha Shmini that are being omed lifnei Hashem? Take a look. Everyone see where we are? About halfway down the first column? The line that begins Hashem? V'anchei dor ha-midbar la'achar ha-sagos ha-gedolos she'esigu b'yisiyas Mitzrayim. These were Jews who saw the Yad Hashem in their life open for a year, open miracles called Makos. Va'achar kach b'kriyas Yamsuf, open, crystal clear, open miracles. Zek keli vanveyu, pointing to Hashem, such a clarity they had by the Yamsuf. U'v'kabalas haTorah, they stood there and they heard God speak. Our neshamas were also there, but these people were there in body and soul. Vayikrivu kola eda. So now we come back to our pasuk in Shmini. Vayikrivu kola eda. Klal Yisrael, what felt so close to Hashem? How could they not? Vayikrivu kola eda. Hainu shenasu mikuravim laKadosh Baruch Hu. They were unbelievably close to Hashem. Vayamdu what lifnei Hashem. Every Jew felt I'm a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Can one get closer to Hashem? I saw Yetzias Mitzrayim. I crossed the Yamsuf, was Makabal the Torah. I'm standing here at the Mishkan, which is the Tachlis of creation, Veshachanti Besocha, Hashras Hashchina. How much closer could I possibly get to God? And Moshe says to them in the Pasuk, yeah, Vayeir Aleichem Kvod Hashem. You're about to encounter God as much as humanly possible. So they're standing there, Vayamdu Lefnei Hashem B'Dveikus Nifla. V'Nigmar B'Daitam Shalefi HaSagasam V'Achanasam Re'uyim Heima Shetishra Hashchina Aleyem. And in this moment, when Moshe says, you're going to have an encounter with God, you know what Klal Yisrael said? What did Klal Yisrael say? Duh. Of course we are. Of course we are. What better preparation could there be than a year of Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Kabbalah Satorah? We're ready for this. We are ready for Ashras HaShechina. V'si b'lezeh hoya yidei chisaron amuna. But for a Jew to ever think that he's worthy, for a Jew to ever think that he's earned his relationship with Hashem, remember the Zohar we read yesterday? The Zohar said that David HaMelech, no matter how lofty he got, he was never what? He never strayed from the Derech HaYashar. The Derech HaYashar, the baseline of every single Jew is Ani Ma'amin. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzeisicha Eretz Mitzrayim. I'm Hashem your God, I took you out of Mitzrayim, and that's it, I'm Hashem your God. I am Hashem your God. No Delecha, Hashem Elokeinu. Yeah, thank you Hashem. Al Shemchal Talav Oseinu, Eretz Chaim, Zatovrachava. Thank you for all the things you did for me, we say in the benching. V'ala Kol, but more than anything else, what are we thankful for? That you're Hashem, that you're our God. We're thankful that you're our God. Forget all the madrigos and all the asagos and all the things we saw and all the things we understood. V'ala Kol, Modi Manachnu Lach, you know I am Moda to you? Because you're Hashem Elokeinu, because you're my God. Period. Emuna. Emuna Pshuta. That has to be the baseline. So Klai Yisrael over here, believe it or not, because of Chet HaEgel, had a little bit of a lack of Emuna. And because of that Pagam and Emuna, what did they think? Not such a terrible thing. They thought they were really, really close to Hashem. We earn this closeness with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what we're holding. K'mash Shekosav Ha'admur Hazakin Mivorki, where it's big letters, like the tzaddik from Vorki explained, She'ikir Chet HaEgel, Nitzmach Michesor Namuna. The problem of Chet HaEgel was a lack of Amuna, a lack of simplicity. There's a lot to talk about there. The ego being what? The ego being a person who's thinking too much. The ego has a lot to do with making calculations, trying to understand things in your way, not surrendering to something you don't yet understand. Where's Moshe Rabbeinu? What's going on here? Questioning the Rebbe is a very serious thing. Questioning the tzaddik, as if you understand the tzaddik. The tzaddik is truly close to Hashem. So when you question the tzaddik, you're questioning Hashem. You're showing a lack of emuna. Look what happened here. This generation thought they were worthy. They had prepared themselves. And they were worthy of Hashras Hashchina. A Navi prepares himself and he receives the word of God. We're also prepared. We're also B'nai Neviim. We're also worthy of Ashras HaShechina. We earned all of this. For a few days, Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. And look how the Talmidim are falling apart. For a couple of days, Moshe Rabbeinu is not around. He's up on top of the mountain. And all of a sudden, all of the clarity, all of that emuna descends into sveikos. Again, they can be very holy sveikos. If you want to understand Chet HaEgel as a holy thing, which one could. That Moshe Rabbeinu shalama Torah b'kedusha Hashem Yisbarach lo tolo v'chisaron ba'atzim rak b'Moshe Rabbeinu al v'shalom. Moshe disappears for a couple of days and Klai Yisrael say, where's Moshe? It's Moshe's fault. This whole thing's Moshe's fault. Where's Moshe? What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Kizeh Moshe ish lo yadanu meha yolanu. Where'd he go? It's Moshe's fault. Not Moshe's fault. V'yumaharim achay rabam. He says two lines from the bottom. They were questioning. They had thoughts. They were challenging the Rebbe. Achayubayim al yedei zeh lachet ha'egel. And questioning one's Rebbeim, questioning the Mesorah, questioning one's connection to Hashem, transmitted generation after generation. Certainly this first link in the chain, Moshe Rabbeinu, mamish is a form of Avodah Zarah. A lack of emunah in the tzaddik becomes Avodah Zarah. And therefore it's not surprising at all that one second after wondering about Moshe Rabbeinu, they're making a Chet HaEgel. Achav bayim al yudei zeh l'chet ha'egel. As Chazal explained in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, chaver, take a look, left column, kol ha'maharer acharei rabo, a person who wonders, who questions, who challenges Torah authority, who beprat acharei rabban shel Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu al v'shalom, all the more so, you question the greatest teacher of Torah, other than God himself, whoever it was. And now, all of a sudden, look what happens. Va'ata, so therefore. Now, kishenid melem gam kein shein b'chinas lifnei Hashem. So now Klai Yisrael say, we're lifnei Hashem. We're lifnei Hashem. Vayikrevu, what does the pasuk say? Kol ha'eda, vayamdu lifnei Hashem. We're so close, we're standing before Hashem. Amar lehem Moshe. What did the Medrash say? Remove that Yetzirah that you have in your heart. What is that Yetzirah? What is that Yetzirah that Moshe is talking about? That Yetzirah that Moshe is talking about, take a look. Amar la Moshe, Oso Yetzirah ta'avir milavavchem. Va'al tasu od kazos. La'aloch begdulos v'neflos. Recognize those two words? That was mamish the pasuk we had yesterday. That David HaMelech, lo gavu libi, lo ramu einai, despite the godless, despite the neflos, David HaMelech maintained a certain equilibrium. Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, Chevra, just be careful. I know you feel very inspired, and you're expressing that as being close to Hashem, and now you feel that you've earned Hashras HaShechina, but you're straying a little bit from that perfected middle path that we're meant to walk in this world. You're losing your Amunah. Amunah has to be that central point, the core of a person. And as you start to grow, there's a danger that you've earned your relationship with Hashem now. You no longer have that Amunah Pshuta, which is needed, because you're not always gonna feel close to Hashem. If I sit in the middle, I told you that story one time. Rav Yankel Pishavorsk, after the war, came to Paris. And he was sitting in a Beis Medrash in Paris. And for that tekufa, he was a big tzaddik. But he sat right in the middle of the Beis Medrash. He took his seat in the middle of the Beis Medrash. So, in fact, the Shaila, who sits in the middle of the Beis Medrash? If you're a tzaddik, you're a Rosh Hashiva, you sit in the front of the Beis Medrash. If you're a guy who comes to shul because he has to, doesn't really want to be there, you sit in the back of the Beis Medrash. Right? A person sits in the middle of the Beis Medrash. So Yankel said, the Gemara says in Psachim, on Daf Nun, the Gemara tells the story of someone who died and then he was revived, and they asked him, what did you see? And he said, Olam Hafach Raisi. In the next world, I saw an upside down world. But the people who are on top in this world are on the bottom, in the next world, the people on the bottom are on top. Right? Everything's upside down in that world. So if Yankel said, if I sit in the front of the Beis Medrash and the world gets flipped, I'm going to end up in the back. If I sit in the back, the world gets flipped, I'm going to end up in the front. If I sit in the middle, then maybe I can have a makom for myself. The middle stays the middle. Rav Yankel of Pishavorsk. I stay in the middle. I get to stay in the middle. Yeah? So if a Jew has a Muna, if that's his core, if that's his middle, and he doesn't stray to the extreme, if you stray to one of the extremes, Hashem might one day bring the Geula and flip everything on its head, and you end up somewhere totally different than you thought you are. But if I have that David HaMelech Mida of just being Pashut, which of the Sviros corresponds to David? The 10 Sviros, Malchus. What does the Zohar say about Malchus? Malchus, leis lei migarmei klum. The moon is compared to Malchus. The moon has none of its own light. It's a kli, it's a mekabel. It's mekabel. It's always a mekabel. It never takes. It's mekabel. Leis lei migarmei klum, in the language of the Zohar. The Kunei Zohar. Leis lei migarmei klum. It has nothing of its own. It doesn't hold itself to be anything. It doesn't stray. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, it's beautiful that you think you're close to Hashem. It's nice that you feel that you've earned this relationship. It's very inspiring to think that you're standing lifnei Hashem, your mamash a kohen gadol. But remove this yetzahar from your heart. To want to be what? A person who has earned it. Who feels roy to say about himself, I'm lifnei Hashem. What does Moshe say to them? Rather, ze hadavar asher tasu. Rakez davar asher tziva Hashem tasu. Ze davar asher tziva Hashem tasu. Just do what Hashem asks you to do. Stop with the cheshbonos. This is really good. This is really bad. You don't know how to assess good or bad. You don't know where the front of the base measure is or the back of the base measure is. Olam hafach reisi. You have no clue what you're looking at. So just stay in the middle and say, like David Melech, achaz tiv v'lar penu. I'm just going to hold on to my spot. Hold on to Hashem. The muscle we were using yesterday, the baby in the mother's embrace, and then I'm safe, then I'm good. Try to go out on my own, I'm in big trouble. Af im lo teidu shum tam, and even if you don't really understand anything, yes, there's an ignorance that comes with this holy amuna pshuta and simplicity. Rak machlas ha'achreach l'kayim gzeros ha'borei baruch machlas amunas Hashem. To do things simply because, out of necessity, because God says so. With amuna that if God tells me to do it, I do it. I don't ask questions. You think you're doing Hashem a favor when you do mitzvos? You think you deserve to earn a prize for doing mitzvos? You know what a gift it is? That you're even allowed to have a moon on Hashem? That you're allowed to do His mitzvos? V'lo sheyachor v'yidrosh acher tamei ha-mitzvos, ki lo be'eilech hafetz Hashem. Yes, obviously, on some level, a Jew is supposed to try to understand all of the mitzvahs. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tumura says that Shlomo Melech understood basically everything, and we should try to understand everything. It's true. It's all true. Right? But there has to be, at the same time, Hashem has to be able to look at us, no matter how much we've grown or how much we've descended, and say, I'm still exactly where I need to be, which is what? Clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In ups, in downs, in all the seasons, I'm clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I haven't strayed one bit. That's the Yisod. Now, however, turn to the second side of the page. I'm not going to do the whole piece inside right now. Go to the bottom column. The last line, obviously not the Shabbos HaGadol piece, but the last line of the right column of our piece. V'zesh amhar yalkut. So now let's come back to the Medrash. The Medrash says to Moshe, get rid of that Yetzahara. The Yetzahara that gives you a perception of ups and downs. Right now you feel very up. There's going to be times in the future you're going to feel really down. Moshe says, just get rid of all that. Be David HaMelech. Just cling to Hashem. Up, down, it doesn't matter. Just be consistently with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe says to them, I want you to get rid of that Yetzahara. For godless, for neflos, for madregos. And what am I asking of you? Moshe says, V'tiu kulchem be'etza achas. Look inside. That everyone should be be'etza achas. Everyone should be of one piece of advice. Chaver, what is that one piece of advice? That one piece of advice is from the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. One of the piyutim that we say in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. K'divrei ha'paitan, as we say in the Yom Noraim, atzoso emuna. As the tzaddikim explained, Yismach Yisrael amongst them, but others explain as well. Atzasa, what's Hashem's advice? Top of the left column, emuna. That's Hashem's advice. That's the advice. The advice that trumps all advice. Things are going really well for me. What should I do about that? Have emuna. Things are going really badly for me. What should I do about that? Have emuna. That's the ultimate advice. That is his advice. Atzasa, his advice, is emuna. Now the Pashup shot actually in the Pio, just so you know what we're talking about here, and see, understand why Yismach Yisrael is saying Chassidus HaTaych. The Pashup shot is, Atzaso Amuna means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's counsel is trustworthy. Amuna means that Hashem is dependable. Yeah? Hashem is reliable. V'neman ato l'achayos mesim. What are we saying in Shemot Esrei? V'neman ato. It means you're reliable, you're dependable, you're trustworthy. But to read it the way that the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov understood it, Atzoso, you know what his advice is? Emuna, that you should have Emuna. To be a person of Emuna. Ve'amuna nikra achas. And when Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want you all to be of one piece of advice. Emuna is called one. Where do we see Emuna is called one? The Gemara in Makos that we mentioned countless times. Chavdal and Aleph. Bocha bakuk ve'amidan al achas. I told you once, Remez. You know what the gematria of Bach, Habakkuk, Vamidon, Al-Achas is? It's exactly Bereishis. That's it. That's the whole thing. Bach, Habakkuk, Vamidon, Al-Achas is 9:13. Bereishis. And what is the advice of Habakkuk? V'tzadik be'emun oso yichya. Period. That's the advice of everyone. All the tzadikim. That's the opening word of the Torah is being Meramez to. That's what the whole story is about. Atzaso, in one word, emunah. So let's explain it now. It's a beautiful explanation, yes. Because when it comes to understanding Hashem, right? So you're learning the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, and I'm learning the Ramchal's Derech Hashem, and a third person is learning the Rabbeinu Yonah, and a fourth person is learning Chovas HaLevavos. Yeah. Yankel is learning Bava Kama, and Beryl is learning Bava Metzia, and Shmeryl is learning Bava Vasra. So each one is holding by a different sugya in Hashem. And each one, based on how much theology and philosophy of God he understands, has a different understanding of Hashem. This one understands Hashem that much, this one understands Hashem more, this one understands Hashem less. If we try to be, like he says here, Binyanei Chakira, when it comes to investigation, when it comes to exploration, when it comes to philosophical inquiry, so then we all end up different. Rav Soloveitchik was very smart, so he understood much deeper. Some of us are more philosophical, some of us are less. Right? But we all end up in different places. What's the Eitz Achas that binds us all together? How do you take so many different people and put them all together? And the answer is, if we all come back to our starting point, our shoresh, our innermost core, the middle of the Beis Medrash, where is that? The answer is emuna. When it comes to the philosophical inquiry and investigation of Hashem, no two people think alike when we're thinking with our brains. No two people think exactly alike. There are those who have a deep understanding. You sit down with the Baal HaTanya and say, explain to me your understanding of Hashem. And you sit down with Maishal the water carrier and say, explain to me your philosophy of Hashem. Worlds apart. And there is a mitzvah of knowing Hashem. There is a mitzvah to know Hashem. V'yadata ayom. Ki Hashem v'elokim ha-shamayim ma'al v'chulu v'gomer. V'kol echad v'echad l'fi daito v'sichlo shachanan lo ha-kadosh baruch hu. Each person has his own understanding of things. One person's holding in the sugya of Takfu Kohen, and the other person is learning a sugya in Zvachim. So you have people learning different things, different understanding of things. Aval bin yone emuna. But when it comes to emuna, hakol shavim. Everyone's equal. Of course, well, the Yismach HaShel doesn't know there's madregos in emuna. Of course there's madregos in emuna. There's many levels in emuna also. But however, there's a baseline. There's a David HaMelech baseline. Of achaz tiv of alar penu. Without any understanding of my success or my failure, I cling to Hashem and I don't let go. The bottom line is, Hashem made the world. Hashem runs the world. He was, he is, he will be. He's Adon HaKol. Like we say in Shema every day, Kabbalah Somachos Shemayim. The Chavetz Chaim, in one of his lesser known Svarim, Sefer called Zachor Lemiriam. Chavetz Chaim wrote a lot of books. A lot of Kuntresim, a lot of small Svarim. I believe it's in the back of the Zachor Lemiriam from the Chavetz Chaim. It's one of his smaller works about Lashon Hara. Zachor Lemiriam, remember what happened to Miriam when she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. He quotes from Rav Yisrael Salanter. And Rav Yisrael Salanter explained that when a person says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and you're holding on to that Dalid, you try to elongate the Dalid, and you're thinking, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ches and the Dalid, you're thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu being in all the directions of the world. To think that Hashem surrounds everything, He's a Malik Olam and He's Sovik Olam. You're reminding yourself that Hashem is found in the Dalid, the four directions, north, east, south, west. Hashem is everywhere. So it says Rav Yisrael Salanter, don't forget, as you're so busy saying, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, as you point in all the directions, not that you're actually pointing, but as you're thinking all the directions, and maybe even moving as some people do during Shema, meditating on all four directions, the presence of Hashem all around us, says Rav Yisrael Salanter, make sure that there's one point that you don't miss. You're so busy focusing on the six directions around you, up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. Yeah, to quote Uncle Maishi, who I discussed to hear Daven Kabbalah Shabbos in Armenian this past Friday night. Uncle Maishi, Daven Kabbalah Shabbos. It's Kavaldik. It's really good. He's great. He's a great yid. Moshe Tenenbaum. He's Kavaldik. He was doing great in the Gunam. Like very, very like orchestral, rebbish. It was really very geschmack. Anyways, yeah, so up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Yeah? Says Rav Yisrael Salanter, don't forget, as you're pointing in all the directions around you, don't forget to point in. Don't forget the middle point. It's true, Hashem is in the north, and Hashem is in the south, and Hashem is in the west, and Hashem is in the east. But as you're being Mekabel Hashem all around you, don't forget to be Mekabel Hashem within you. That's the bottom line. Yes, of course, there's Madregos in Amuna. And there's certainly Madregos in Yediyah, says the Yismach Yisrael. But the Eitza Achas that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, at this moment you feel so elevated, David HaMelech, that was what we ended yesterday in Lekan Amarim. David HaMelech, as he grew in Madregos, when he was the most dominant king in the world, he didn't stray one iota from that central point. The Eitza Achas is, the Iker is Amun HaPshuta. And we'll end with this, look at this. Umi lanu gadol me'abal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And is there a Jew in history who's greater than Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh? Maybe not. We don't know anything about the Madregos of the Baal Shem Tov in learning. which leads some, you know, historians to wonder if the Baal Shem Tov was even may have been a charismatic guy. Who says he was a lamdan? Who says he knew Torah well? We don't have any of his shilos and tshuvos. We don't have his svarim on sugyas and shas. But again, I remind you, all you have to do, as been pointed out, to get a glimpse of who the Baal Shem Tov may have been, all you have to do is consider who are the people who consider themselves his talmidim. Who was the Maggid? What do we know about the Maggid? More than we know about the Baal Shem Tov in terms of who he was. What do we know about the Rebbe of Melech? Right? What do we know about the 70 tzaddikim, who each one was bigger than anyone we can even imagine, who consider themselves Talmidim of the Rebbe of Melech, who consider himself a Talmud of the Maggid, who consider himself a Talmud who changed his entire Hashkafas Achayim to be a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And some of them, we do know how big they were in terms of Lamdis, and in terms of Psach Halacha, and in terms of... There's an essay from Rav Zevin, one of his Svarim. Rav Zevin has a sefer called Or HaHalacha. And he has an essay in there where he talks about the impact of the Tzaddikim, Dafka, the Chassidish Rebbe, the Tzaddikim of Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, their impact in Halacha, their impact in Lamdis, right? Which again is totally overshadowed by their tzidkus and their desire to instill what the Yisbach Yisrael is writing here, the Emunah Pshuta. Come to my office. Come look at the Chiddush Rim on Maseches Gittin. Tell me if you understand one word of that fat sefer. It's all Lamdis. That's the same Chiddush Rim who says, Tachlis Sivlos Mitzrayim, that Hashem finally took Klal Yisrael out when they couldn't bear being in Mitzrayim anymore. We know the Chiddush Rim is teaching us Chassidus Shavertlach and teaching us how to live our life. These were Lamdanim Gedolim. The Divrei Chaim. You ever see the Shilos and Tshuvas of the Divrei Chaim? These were massive poskim. Right? So just remind yourself, if these were the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, the Rebbe probably knew how to learn a little bit. Right? Probably knew how to learn a little bit. He probably learn up a sugya. Probably. Right? Imagine he could engage in a thoughtful conversation with Rav Chaim Brisker or the Rav. Imagine the Baal Shem Tov could hold his own, yeah, in a lesser known sugya in Me'ila or in Temura. Imagine. Look what the Baal Shem Tov said at the end of his life. Umi lanu gadol mi Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. She'amar kodim p'tiraso, ani maniach kol asagos shisagti. I put aside all of my understanding of things. I put aside all of my intellectual grasp of things. Uma'amin, ich bin a nar and glib. I become like a simpleton. B'bechinas pesi yamin l'chol davar. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, a simpleton, a fool, almost a foolish person, is what? Is yamin l'chol davar, believes everything. The Pashup Shad HaMishlei is what? That a simple person is gullible, he's easily tricked. You can tell him anything and he'll believe it. But the way the Baal Shem Tov is saying about himself, after every single thing that I studied and I acquired and I know, and I put it all aside, for what? That my emunah, that is called davar, that's everything. At the end of the day, that's everything. To have that consistency of what? Of believing in Hashem through ups and downs like we've been learning in Lekha Damar. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Klal Yisrael. He was warning them, be careful. Zeh ha-davar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. Two other times in the parsha this past week, we see what? We see a place where it didn't work out, and we see a place where it did work out. Where do we see that it didn't work out? Not going to go into the whole sugya now, but in one half of a pasuk, vayikrivu lifnei Hashem, Eish Zara Asher Lo Tzivo Osam. The sons of Aaron HaKohen brought a carbon because they wanted to be close. They wanted to be Bali Madrega, and they were Bali Madrega. And the Ruach Chaim HaKadosh says they died a very holy death. And who are we to judge? But the bottom line is, it was an Eish Zara. It was a Avodah Zara. It was a foreign fire. Asher Lo Tzivo Hashem. Asher Lo Tzivo Osam. They were not commanded to bring that. They went after their own Seichel. As Rabbi Nachman writes in Likutei Maran, in the second Chelek, in Torah 12, Yud Beis, that a person who goes after his intellect could destroy the world, could destroy his world, and could destroy the whole world. Those are people who didn't take Moshe's advice. Nadav and Avihu didn't take Moshe Rabbeinu's advice to do things because God says so, with Emunah Pshuta. And where do we see later in the Parasha such a beautiful phrase used by Aaron HaKohen of Emunah Pshuta, of being able to make the right choice? When Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are discussing whether or not Aaron properly handled the day's karbanos, in light of the fact that he had just lost his children and was an onen, was in that process of avelus. And Aaron says, and Moshe says, well, what happened here? Where did the karbanos go? Did he eat the karbanos? Vayedaber Aaron al Moshe, hina yom mikribas chatosim es olasim lefnei Hashem, vatekreno usika eila. And then what happened to me, namely, my children died. Vachalti chatas hayom. If I were to eat the karban chatas, hayitav beinei Hashem. I love that pasuk. You hear? Hayitav beinei Hashem. Is this Ratzon Hashem? This is what God wants. Moshe, I can give you the lamdas also. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say this discussion between Moshe and Aaron is the shoresh of Torah Shebaal Peh in the Torah. It's a sugya. They're debating. It's a base medrash. This is the first base medrash in Torah Shebechsav. Then Moshe says a svara, and Aaron says another svara, and Moshe does mask him to the svara. Vayish from Moshe v'yitaveinav. You're staying good. I don't hear of Khan last night. Yeah, a couple people had the chance, right? And the Rav said, I was right. Yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he's debating with Aaron, and he gives in. He says, you're right. Aaron's right. Taka, Aaron's right. Maybe the sugi went on. Maybe later the next day, Moshe said, I was right. I don't know. Maybe. But this is there's a big machlokas here. A lot of pilpul. A lot of lumdus. But at the end of the day, you know what? Svara trumps everything. What was Aaron's svara? What was Aaron's winning argument? Hayitav b'nei Hashem. Is this what God wants? Libi omrali, my emuna pshuta tells me this is not what God wants. And Moshe says, you're right. After all the svaras, after all the lumdus. One of the tzaddikim once asked another one of the gedolim to write a tshuva about a laguna. About a laguna, a woman who was not able to remarry. And when the tshuva arrived, he asked his Talmud, "Tell me, what was the psak? What was the psak? What's the bottom line?" So he said, "He was matter the aguna." He wrote a whole long tshuva in response to your request, and he was matter the aguna. So he said, "I don't want to see the tshuva. I don't want to read his logic." Because the logic, I'm smart enough, I can ask questions on all of his logic. But his psak, that came from such a pure, warm Jewish heart, right? If he passed in that way, I'm willing to just follow it blindly. If we want to get into a debate, I'm gonna have what to say. I don't want to know the steps. I want to know what that gadol, what that tzaddik passed. That's all I care about. Emunah pshuta, not the question. And that's mamish, the eitz of Moshe Rabbeinu, as Klal Yisrael having a very elevated moment. Which then very quickly descends into the death of Aaron's sons, a very tragic moment. Right? And Aaron learning that lesson and learning the language of Hayitav Bene Hashem, is this what God wants? Mamash, a very, very chashuv yisod. So, Chaver, let's look in Lek and Amarim just for a couple more minutes. Okay, we'll see how far we get. I don't want to overstay my welcome here. But let's take a look at the pages I gave you. If you need a copy, we have for you. If you don't need a copy, if you have the Sefer, so then we're on page Tzadi Dalet. Go for it, Sadiq. It's that one. Okay, he begins by quoting a pasuk. Mikitzei ha'aretz elecha ekra. From the edge of the earth, I call out to you. It's a pasuk in Tehillim Samach Aleph. Rabbi Nassan lekute halachos in Hilchos Hona. Hey Gimel. Marich, he expands upon this idea that we were developing yesterday. She'ikir in yano shel David ha'melech alav ha'shalom hu bezeh. Shemechazek is called Echad Miyisrael Lischazek Ulisachez and Hashem Yisparach B'chol Mina Yeridos Shabbolam. The biggest chiddush of David HaMelech is that he taught us that it's possible to hang on. And by the way, the Chiddush HaRim, who I mentioned a moment ago, and other tzaddikim, the Rishner, the tzaddikim said at the end of days, which we're living in right now, it's going to be very hard to hold on. The tzaddikim compared it to a long rope. You view all of world history, all of Jewish history, right, as a big chain, as a long rope, and we're the bottom of the chain, right? And in Shemayim the chain is shaking, and the reverberations as it comes down through that rope is very intense, right? Like the whiplash. If you're holding on to the end of the rope, and you know the wave, so to speak, comes. By the time it gets to the end of the rope, it really tries to throw you off. And our job is to what? Is to achaztiv lo arpenu, to just hold on tight. We're almost there. You don't have to do anything other than hang on tight. That's the avodah. So David HaMelech was mechazik us more than anything else, that through all the Yeridos Hadoros, that it's possible to hold on. It's possible to hang tight. Va'afilim hu margish shenimtza b'shol tachdes mamish, and even if a Jew feels that his world has descended into the depths of hell, lo yisya'ish b'shom ofen v'ofen. There's no giving up. Va'zeh yosid David nimz miros yisrael sefer Jew. That's what Tehillim is. Tehillim is a cry for a Jew who's literally clinging to the rope and trying not to fall off. Litzok tomidei lav yisbarach afilu k'shuv b'chinas, to be able to cry out to Hashem even when you find yourself in this situation described in Tehillim Samach Tes. Tavati b'yvein mitzula, I'm drowning in the mud. Yvein means mud. Same letters as Yavan. A lot of Hanukkah Torahs on this pasuk. Tavati b'yvein mitzula. V'ein ma'amad bossi b'ma'amokei mayim v'shibolei shatafati. I'm drowning. I'm swimming in the mud. Right? V'chol nuscho es tefilos elu hisnabei David al dor achro. And all of these tefilos David didn't have only David's personal life in mind. He was thinking about what's going to be at the end of days when Jews are drowning. Shegamim yagiu la'osa matzavim shveilim, that even if we find ourselves in that place, gam mikzeya aretz elecha ekra, the pasuk we started with. From the edge of the earth, I will cry out to you. Tamid yischazchu b'Hashem yisbarach. V'yazel lehem letikun miyuchad nifla. And Sefer Tehillim becomes the book of Klal Yisrael to get us through the final chapters of Galus. Ayin sham b'divrei Rav Nasan. Look over there in the words of Rabbi Nasan. Divrei chizuk nifla ha'shayichem l'chol echer ve'echer machayin es ha'nefesh. And you'll see beautiful, beautiful words written to each and every one of us that will give us a lot of chiyus, a lot of life support in these tough times. Additionally, we find the Likutei Halachos. Soda inyan mashakasa bizar kadosh. This is very interesting. Shezesh shedavad amelach olav shalom lo over alav chatzos laila achas b'shena. David HaMelech was very into what? Davening at chatzos. Tikun chatzos. David HaMelech wouldn't sleep. At midnight, he was up. He was davening. What's the inyan of chatzos? You'll understand now, maybe for the first time, what's the inyan of chatzos halayla? Midnight. And not 12 o'clock midnight, but midnight based on Shal Zmanios. Halachic midnight. Now, what is that inyan? Why is that an auspicious time to daven? To daven specifically over Chorban Beis HaMikdash? What is the inyan? Ki kol malchuso hayatoli bekimas chatzos. That David's whole Malchus was dependent upon it. And he quotes here many, many passages in the Zohar that highlight that. For example, Ayin B'Zohar, the Zohar in Balak says, David Miftach Lei, David, so to speak, promised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Lo Yavr Lei, Palgus Lei L'Beshinza, that I will not go through the middle of the night with sleep. Kamo Shekosev Chatzos Laila Akum Lahodos Lach. I'm going to get up every night, Akum, forever. That's going to be my time. Why chatzos? What is the secret of chatzos? For the sake of time, he brings other Mamari Chazal and the Zohar on this page. Each one is readable. He translates them for us. But for the sake of time, let's just turn the page. Let's go to the top of the next page. Okay? Because I want to be fair to our schedule today. I don't want to fall too far behind. But he brings numerous Mamari Chazal. A Zohar in Vayikra, a Zohar in Bereishis. David HaMelech was a chatzos, a chatzosnik. That was his man. That was when David HaMelech felt most connected. What is the inyan of chatzos? Explains Rabbi Nassan on the second line of page Sadihei. Rabbi Nassan explained. Mevarzos Moranat. Rabbi Nassan explained. Kila Eis Erev Im Pinos Hayom. As evening comes about, and the day passes, and the sun sets, Misrachekes Hashemesh. The sun distances itself from us. Vachoshech Yichas Aretz. And darkness descends. And as night increases, we may not see it with our naked eye, but the darkness thickens, so to speak. It increases. It intensifies. And so to speak, that midpoint, that farthest point between when the sun was here and when the sun will come back is what we call chatzos. As I choshech hi bitzumo, that's the time when the choshech is most intense, when the darkness is most powerful. Va'afel kvedash so revers ba'olam, and there's a thick darkness, an intense, heavy, weighty darkness that's so rare, that dominates the world, that rules in the world. V'daika oz, what a beautiful vart. V'daika oz b'shas choshech afel zu. Hayadavin mechavin lamud lefnei Hashem b'shiros v'tishbachos v'dveikus nifla. David says, that's my time to sing, that's my time to be connected, that's my time to rejoice. No, it's not. That's a time to hide under the covers and hope that the night just passes. And David says, no, that's when I'm going to sing praises to Hashem. That's when I'm going to try to feel close to Hashem. It's the farthest, it's the darkest point of the night. But David wanted to teach us that you can sing in the dark. They can continue to push ahead in the dark. They can still be connected to Hashem amidst the richuk. That David was mamshech this illumination to light up that dark night. For all generations, l'sachiz v'malchuso yizbarach afilu b'tachlis achoshech, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the midst of the ultimate darkness. V'alama misaveh v'sa'odim yikol tzadav, when he feels surrounded by darkness on all sides. And we bli ro'os shum nitzot cha'or, when he feels that there's no light in sight. The light that was in the past is long gone. The light of the future is so far off. I'm mamish trapped. Chatos. No, you're not. David pierced through the night and illuminated the night with his tfilos and his shiros and his tishbachos. Because if you wanted to ask yourself again, someone stops you on the street. He says, what have you been learning? You say, we've been learning the sugi of David HaMelech. So someone says, tell me the sugi of David HaMelech. Achaztiv alar penu. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how powerful and bright it gets, I'm a mamin who clings to Hashem. Period. That's the sugi of David HaMelech. In three words, underline it, Laheyer es hachoshach, to illuminate the dark. That's what we're living in right now. We're asking Hashem to illuminate the darkness for us. To illuminate the darkness. Yeah, that we should be able to dwell in the light. And about this, right, David HaMelech says, or we say, David HaMelech, you're forever. You can get us through anything. When a person again clings to this midah, that'll stick with Hashem no matter what it is, whatever happens. Now we come full circle. Why did David HaMelech feel worthy of having God's name attached to him? Why did David HaMelech feel I should be in every Shemona Esrei? Because the person who clings to Hashem, anila dodi v'dodi li, you cling to Hashem, Hashem clings to you. You attach yourself to Hashem, Hashem attaches His name, His essence, kiviyachol, to you. As the Medrash says, Amar Bichanina bar Papa, Iyov, who suffered terribly, if he would have had a better attitude, he also could have been in Shemona Esrei. Iyov amali lot kara tagar kishabal of Yisurim, had Iyov not questioned God so much, the book of Job, you've read it? It's a very intense book. Say for Iyov, had he not questioned God so much in his conversations with his three friends, Geshem sh'omrim achshav elokei Avram elokei Yitzchak, excuse me, elokei Yaakov, kachayu omrim elokei Iyov. Iyov could have been one of the people. But you know what? He questioned too much. And he let go a little bit in the dark. He eventually grabbed back on. But he lost that connection to Hashem, if only for a moment. This is very interesting. Why is Hashem called the God of Israel? The King of Israel? Yisrael represents Klal Yisrael. And therefore, you know why Hashem can use that name? You know why God can attach His name to Klal Yisrael, Begadol, the whole people? Because even if as individuals we sometimes slip, we sometimes let go, we're not able to hold on like David HaMelech, the Jewish people, the entity called Nishmas Yisrael, never let go. The entity called Klal Yisrael has never for a second let go. And therefore Hashem says, Elokei Yisrael. I can attach my name because Klal Yisrael, as a unique spiritual entity, have never let go. There's moments as Nishamos Pratios we've let go, or so it seems. But as a tzibur, as an entity, you've never let go. Ki bechlalus am Yisrael, lo yifiru v'lo yafiru lenetzach hakesher shalhem v'mashem yisbarach. That Klal Yisrael, as a tzibur, as an entity, have never relinquished that grasp of Hashem. Three lines from the bottom. Jump to the bottom. V'lachein matzinu b'mokomos rabim b'mikra, b'kesher shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, nemar lashon bris. Chevra, I'll ask you, is it possible for you to erase your bris milah? Permanent mark on your body. A bris means a permanent bond, a covenant. And the Gemara talks about a person who's Moshe Arlasa, who tries to, you know, he pulls on his bris mila in such a way that it makes it look like he doesn't have, that he's uncircumcised. But the bottom line is, a bris is a bris. Your body has been stamped. That's the whole reason we have a bris, according to the Sefer HaChinuch. To mark our bodies in a way that cannot be erased, that I'm on Hashem's team. My tattoo. It's not a heart with mom and an arrow, you know, my basketball number. It's a bris, and it can't be erased. Bris, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, two lines from the bottom, is mora alashon nitzchis. Bris means a permanent connection. Kamo bris olam beinu vein bnei Yisrael osi le'ola. Turn to the last page for today. V'chein the pasuk in Yecheskel. V'achrasa lachem bris olam. It's supposed to be lachem, not lahem. V'achrasa lachem bris olam. V'amidel Yaakov lechok liYisrael bris olam. These are terms that we find. Bris olam. Bris olam, an eternal covenant. So now we understand. David Melech says, I also want to be in Shmona Esrei. Chutzpah, we said. How can you say such a thing? The answer is, David knew that Hashem calls himself Elokei David. In Malachim Beis, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei David Avicha. Just like Hashem says Elokei Yisrael, because it represents the bris, the absolute clinging of us to Hashem and Hashem to us. David Melech had that. He had achieved that. And therefore he said, put me in Shmona Esrei. I deserve to be in Shmona Esrei. I'm like one of the Avos. He quotes a Gemara in Moed Katan. You can see in the middle. Uvesech is Moed Katan. Hamashenemer al David. It says about David, Rosh HaShalishi. Rosh HaShalishi, says the Gemara, Te Rosh L'Shloshes Avos. In a certain sense, David's even greater than the Avos. He's more consistent. Moshe Rabbeinu gets yelled at the beginning of Parshas Ve'era. Moshe, why are you questioning me? The Avos didn't question me, but even more so, David didn't question Hashem. David Mamish just clung to Hashem. It's such an inspiring life to think about. To think about the life of David HaMelech. Last paragraph for today. V'zeh lashon haramban b'sefer emunah bitachon. Amru chazal ha'avos hein ha'merkava. The Avos are Hashem's chariot in this world. The ein Avos ela gimel. And the Avos are only three. So unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going around in a wheelbarrow, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a fourth wheel. No? Most cars have four wheels. Most chariots have four wheels. Unless Hashem is riding on a tricycle, Hashem needs a fourth wheel. Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, who's the fourth wheel? The Ein HaMerkava P'chus HaMidalid. Umihu HaRavi, says the Ramban HaKadosh. As our Rebbe, the Kedushas Levi, likes to call him. HaRamban HaKadosh says, who's the fourth wheel? Halo Hu Adoneinu David HaKadosh. The Heilige David HaMelech. He's mamish on par with the Avos, maybe even greater than the Avos in a certain sense. And the Merkava Shlema cannot be a Merkava Shlema without David HaMelech. I told you a remez once from the Svar Makadoshim that the gematria of Merkava Shlema 652 is exactly gematria Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David. That is the Merkava Shlema. You need that fourth wheel. It's the smallest of them. Avram is 248. Yitzchak is 208. Yaakov is 182. David is Dalid Vav Dalid, 14. Small little name. Simple little number. And yet the Merkava can't be Shlema without that fourth wheel. Merkava Shlema, which means the complete chariot, requires Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David, 652. For Abosenu lo iskiru, it says the Ramban, even though this is not something that we necessarily find in open sources, Klomer b'feirishu regular v'i, it's not explicit in a Gemara or a Chazal, that David is the fourth wheel, so to speak. But we see that Hashem says, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Yaakov. And yes, Hashem in the Navi does say, Elokei David, even though we don't say it in Shmona Esrei. But it would have been fitting to say such a thing. These are the only four that are worthy of that title. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei David, Adkan, Lishono of the Ramban. Look in the Zohar and Bereishis and Daf Pei Beis and Aleph if you want to understand more about this. But again, what a beautiful sugya to learn in these days leading up to Shuas. Shuas, of course, is the art side of David HaMelech. So let's think about this. We come to that moment, once again, we makabel the Torah, to remember what the Yismach Yisrael said, the greatest Eitzah of all, Atzasu Amunah, is to be a person of Amunah Pshuta, to be able to just cling to Hashem. Ups don't throw me off. Downs don't throw me off. Sideways doesn't throw me off. Success, failure, light, dark, it's all good. You know why? Because I walk with the Kadosh Baruch. That's the Yisod. Okay? All right. Gevaldik.